All right, so Leviticus chapter number 13 here, or Leviticus chapter 20 here this morning. We're going to focus on verse number 13 right there. Of course, in this chapter, there are many things that are being covered about the laws of God, of things that are not just criminal offenses, but things that are worthy of the capital punishment, worthy of being put to death, according to the Bible. And as I said earlier this morning, the sermon title this morning is LGBT criminals. And so I want to show you in the Bible that the act of committing sodomy is a criminal offense according to the Word of God. Now, there are those out there, you'll see people out there all the time in our day and age. You'll see Christians out there that try to justify homosexuality, try to justify sodomy, and they'll sit there and say, well, every sin is equal, so therefore their sin is no different than your sin. Their sin is no different than if you smoke cigarettes or if you do drugs, or no different than any other sin. But that is just nonsense, isn't it? I mean, let me ask you a question. Who in here thinks that the sin of murder is equal to a child stealing a piece of candy? Is that equal? No, that is nonsense and idiocy to think that. And here's the thing. In the Bible, we have many different accounts in the Word of God where the Bible talks about those that would receive the greater damnation. For example, in the Word of God, the false prophets, the Bible tells us, are worthy of the greater damnation. So doesn't that tell you that one sin is worse than the other? Absolutely. And here's the thing, there are sins that while they are a sin, they're not a criminal offense, are they? I mean, if a child steals a piece of candy from his parents' cookie jar, is that a criminal offense?
No.
Now, is it a sin? Sure, absolutely, it's a sin, but it's not a criminal offense, and we have crimes that are criminal offenses because they are worse than others. And let me ask you this, do we punish every criminal offense with the same penalty? No. No, I mean, listen, we don't take somebody who's a thief and just put them to death, do we?
No,
why? Because that sin is not as great as being a murderer, so therefore there is a greater damnation for the greater sin. The murderer receives the greater damnation, he receives the greater penalty because his sin is greater. And in the Word of God, what I want to show you in the Bible is that the act of sodomy was and still is, according to the Bible, a criminal offense. It is not just a sin. And by the way, we'll look at two things. I have basically 2 points here this morning. Number one, it is a criminal offense. And number two, it is an abomination. Because you know what? There are sins in the Bible that while they are sin, they're not an abomination. But then there are sins that the Bible tells us are an abomination. What does the word abomination mean? To have extreme hatred for. That's what it means. In fact, in this same chapter, we already saw that with this chapter, what God said there. Let me go back and find the verse. Look down at verse number 23 of this chapter. And this is throwing in everything that was read in this chapter, which would include the act of sodomy. And look what it says in verse 23. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation, which I cast out before you, for they have committed all these things, and therefore I did what? Oh, so you mean God hated people. Isn't that what your Bible just said? Absolutely, God hated people, God hated those nations because they have committed these acts. Because a man has lying down with a beast, or a woman with a beast, or man with man, or woman with woman. Therefore, God has abhorred them, and it's not just a sin, it is a criminal offense. Look at verse number 13. Let's go ahead and read that verse. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be what?
Put to death.
And what else does it say? It says their blood shall be upon them. So those that would commit the act of sodomy, number one, it's a criminal offense. And number two, what is the punishment for it? The death penalty. Now that is what God says in His Word, that He gives the death penalty for this sin. And you sit there and say, well, we live in 2019. Well, you know what? Let me just give you a few statistics from 2019. Did you know that in 2019, there are, I believe, about 73 countries in the world where it is still illegal to commit sodomy? That if you commit that act, it is a criminal offense in those countries, and they will punish you according to their laws. So you know what? Am I alone in my belief of what the Word of God says? No, there are 73 other countries out there that sit there and say the same thing, that it is a criminal offense. Not only that, within the United States of America, there are still 13 states, of which Louisiana is one of them, that still have on the books. Now, whether they're enforced or not, that's a whole nother thing. But it is still on the books in 13 states in America that sodomy is a crime, it is a criminal offense, and they have punishments written into our laws to punish that crime. When our nation was founded as a nation, it was a crime to commit sodomy, and sodomites, by the way, back then, were put to death. So you know what? That has been a law in our nation, and in some places, it is still on the books in the United States of America. And why is it on the books? Well, it's on the books because our nation was founded as a Christian nation in the very beginning, founded upon biblical principles, and therefore, it was put in there as part of those laws of being a criminal offense. Now, let me read to you what Donald Trump said about this month. I'm sure all of you by now have probably already seen this, because you know it's amazing. Republican Fox News Baptists out there, if Clinton came out and said something like this, they'd be all over Clinton. If Obama, when Obama was a president, had said something like this, they would have been crying bloody murder. But because it's a Republican president, they just remain silent and they won't say anything about it. But this is what Donald Trump said. As we celebrate LGBT Pride Month, I don't have to go any further, do I? I should just stop right there. As we celebrate, so what's that tell you? That tells you he's celebrating this. And by the way, you can go to Trump and Pence's online store and you can buy, you know, those red hats that he had that said Make America Great Again? You can buy that red hat on his online store, but it says Pride on it in the rainbow colors. What's he promoting in his online store? He's promoting sodomy. It's amazing if Obama had done that, Republicans would have been all over that, wouldn't they? Let me continue reading what he said. And recognize the outstanding contributions of LGBT people. We'll recognize some of those here this morning. And he goes on to say, have made to our great nation, let us stand in solidarity with many LGBT people who live in dozens of countries worldwide that punish, imprison, or even execute individuals on the basis of their sexual orientation. My administration has launched a global campaign to decriminalize homosexuality and invite all nations to join us in this effort. So that's what Trump said about this. What's Trump want to do? He wants to decriminalize the act of sodomy. So what does that tell you? It tells you in the world, in many places, it is still a criminal offense. Now, here this morning, we want to see what God has to say about it, right? Now, number one, we've already seen in this one verse in Leviticus chapter number 20, what does it say there? It says it is an abomination. It says they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So from that one verse, is it not a criminal offense according to that one verse? It absolutely is. Let's continue moving through the Bible. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Kings chapter number 14, and look at what the Bible has to say there. 1 Kings chapter number 14, and look at verse number 21. 1 Kings chapter number 14, and look down at verse number 21. The Bible says this in 1 Kings chapter number 14, and verse number 21. As you turn there, by the way, it's kind of fitting that here this morning, I ran out of paper as I was printing off some of my notes, so I had to print part of my notes on the back of Brother Jack's Hurt Feelings report here that he made, kind of as a joke. But you know what? Some people out there on YouTube might need this form here today. Because this is not a sermon for snowflakes. Look down at what the Bible says, 1 Kings chapter number 14. Look at verse number 21. And the Bible says right there in verse number 21, it says, "And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they built also them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel," the Bible says. So right there in the Bible, what do we see? That the Lord cast out these nations. Why? Because they had committed these things, and now Israel, Judah, has allowed these Sodomites into the land. Look at 1 Kings 15, one chapter over, and look at verse number 11. And it says, "And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did who?
David,
his father." So what Asa is doing is right in the eyes of God, and guess who also did it? David, who, by the way, is a man after God's own heart. So look at what the Bible says. The Bible says this in verse number 13. It goes on to say right there, verse 12. It says, "And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made." So when a king does right in the eyes of the Lord, what did he do? He took him out of the land. And by the way, when it says he took him out of the land, he took him out of the land of the living. Not just out of, he didn't just take him and just ship him off to another country. He took him out of the land of the living because that's the law that God had put in place. Now, let me just put out this here this morning before I go any further and just say this, that what I am teaching here this morning is I am not saying that it is our place to go around and kill people. Right? Do I go around and kill murderers?
No.
Is that my place?
No.
Do I go around and take the thieves and throw them into prison?
No.
Is that my place?
No.
But there is somebody that it is their place to do that, isn't there? And whose place is that?
No.
The government's, right? The Bible tells us that they bear not the sword in vain, that they are the ministers of God, the Bible tells us. So when it comes to criminal offenses, it's not our place to carry these things out. What I'm saying here this morning is it is the government's place to go carry these things. So I'm not advocating for us going out and carrying out violence against people out there in the world. What I am advocating for is that it is the government's place to carry out the laws of God, and that these laws were laws then, and according to the Word of God, they are still laws that are to be enacted by our government. So look back at what the Bible has to say. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Kings chapter number 22. Look at what the Bible has to say there. 1 Kings chapter number 22. And look at what the Bible has to say. 1 Kings chapter number 22. And look at verse number 43. And the Bible says this in 1 Kings chapter number 22 and verse number 43. The Bible says this, 1 Kings 22, verse number 43. And the Bible says right there, "And he walked in all the ways of Asa his father, he turned not aside from it, doing that which was" what?
Right.
"Right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered the burnt offerings, offered and burnt incense, yet in the high places, and Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel." So again, we see another king there that does right in the eyes of the Lord. Skip down to verse number 46 and look what it says about him. It says, "And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land." So his father Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He took the Sodomites out of the land, as did David. And by the way, these men have the authority to do it because they're the king. They have the God-given authority because they are the government. And so his father does what is right, then he does what's right, and he removes the Sodomites out of the land. So can't we very easily this morning come to the conclusion, according to the Bible, that at least in the Old Testament, it was a criminal offense? Isn't that what your Bible very clearly teaches? Isn't that what it says? Absolutely, it is a criminal offense. Now listen, if you have a problem with this here this morning, then frankly, that's your problem. You have been brainwashed by society because our society is pushing into your mind that these people, these Sodomites, are just normal people. Now let me ask you a question here today. Is a normal person, would a normal person lie with a beast? No. Would a normal person, a normal adult, lie with a child? No. But I promise you, if you accept that these kinds of people are normal, before long they will be, and they already are, they'll be pushing on you that pedophilia is normal, because after all, they were born that way, and you can't discriminate based on their sexual orientation, so therefore you have to accept these people for who they are. Before long, they'll be pushing down your throats that these people are normal that want to lie with a beast, because after all, love is love, and let love reign free, and love whoever you want to, and if he loves the beast and the beast loves him, why can't they get married? They're just completely normal. That is what is being pushed down our throats in America, and it is not normal. It is disgusting, it is vile, it is against nature, the Bible tells us, and God gives it the death penalty, because people that would commit these kind of crimes, these criminal offenses, they will completely destroy a society. They will completely make a society the victim of them. They don't care for other people. All they care about is themselves. All they care about is their pride. All they care about is getting their own rights. And who cares about you? They will run you, slap over. You think they're going to be satisfied with just a bathroom? You think they're going to be satisfied with equal rights in marriage? You think they're satisfied with that? No, they'll not be satisfied with that. Guess when they'll be satisfied? When every Christian is dead. That's when they'll be satisfied, when there's no longer anybody to stand up and preach the Word of God. Now listen, this may not be popular in this day and time, but I have a responsibility to the Bible. I have a responsibility to God. And the Bible tells me in His Word, be instant in season and out of season, preach the Word, the Bible tells us. We are to preach it whether it is popular or not. We are to preach the entire counsel of the Word of God, whether it's popular or not. Because guess what? What was right in the eyes of God back in the days of Asa is still right in the eyes of God today. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. The Bible tells us in the book of Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. So do you think God has changed on these things in the New Testament? Absolutely not. He hasn't changed on those things in the New Testament. Take your Bibles and let's go ahead and go to 2 Kings chapter number 23. Look at what the Bible has to say there. 2 Kings chapter number 23. One more in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter number 23. Look down at verse number 1. And the Bible says this in 2 Kings chapter number 23, verse number 1. And the Bible says right there, 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse number 1, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. So what are they reading? The Bible, right? They're reading the same thing we're reading today. Go on reading verse number 3. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kedron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kedron, and burned it at the brook Kedron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. Notice this, verse 7. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Now this king here, what king are we reading about? Anybody know his name? That's Josiah. Is who we're reading now. Josiah is one of the most righteous kings that Judah ever had. And when he does that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, along with removing the false prophets and the groves and the idolatrous priests out of their places, what else does he do? He breaks down the houses of the Sodomites. So he not only takes them out of the land, but he breaks down their houses. He's not going to give them a place to live within their land. He's not giving them equal rights, is he?
No,
he's taking them out of the land because they have committed a criminal offense. And there are certain offenses that if you commit, your rights are taken away, aren't they? Because if you commit murder, guess what? Your rights are going to be taken away because you're going to be put to death. And so if you commit this criminal offense of sodomy, it is a capital crime, according to the Bible, worthy of the death penalty. Now, this is all Old Testament, right? That is very clear to see in the Bible that, at least in the Old Testament, it was a capital crime. Does everybody agree that's what the Bible says this morning? Whether you agree whether that should be now or not is irrelevant, because you know what matters? Is what God says about this, because there is one lawgiver, and who is that? That is God. All of our rights and our laws, who do they ultimately come from? God is who they come from. And if we're going to throw away the laws of God, you know who you now have made the authority? Man. Now, I don't know about you, but I would rather our laws come from God, who is righteous, who is good, who is love, who is merciful, who is gracious, than to have all of our laws just come from man. Because if it's up to man, our laws would change from generation to generation, right? And don't they? When we base our laws on man, they change from generation to generation. They change from year to year. So according to man, what was right, or what was right 1,000 years ago, is no longer right today. And by the way, that's how Baptists act today. When you talk about this right here in the Word of God, they'll sit there and say, well, that was Old Testament. That was thousands of years ago. That's so dark ages to believe something like that. But you know what? That's not just Old Testament. That's New Testament too. Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter number 1. Look at what the Bible has to say there. Romans chapter number 1. And look what the Bible has to say. Romans chapter number 1. And look at verse number 32. Romans chapter number 1. And maybe we'll back up a little bit for context's sake there. But go to Romans chapter 1 here this morning. So it's very clear and easy to see in the Bible that in the Old Testament, it was a criminal offense punishable by the death penalty. Now let's see what the New Testament says, shall we? Romans chapter number 1, look down if you would. Let me see what verse I want you starting. Let's back up a little ways. Let's go up to verse 26, and let's start right there. Romans 1, verse number 26, for this cause God gave them up unto what? Vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men. So what are we talking about here? sodomy, right? That's pretty clear to see in the Bible. It's amazing, though, you've got churches out there that try to justify or change this chapter and explain it away, and they'll say that this is something else. They'll say it's not sodomy, it's some kind of other sin, and they'll just try to explain away. That is nonsense. It's easy and clear to see this is talking about sodomy. It's talking about homosexuality. Look at what the Bible says. Bible says in verse number 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful. Hey, what's that word? Proud. Does that sound familiar in our day and time with their pride parades and all that? You want these kinds of people babysitting your children? No, absolutely not. Look at what the Bible says. But you know what? You can take them on down to the library and have some drag queen read to them in a lot of places in our day and age. You see, because Christians and pastors are not standing up and preaching what I'm preaching today, they're coming out of the closets loud and proud, and they're trying to recruit children to themselves because you know what? They're not producers. Because when it's a woman with a woman or a man with a man, they can't produce children. So what do they got to do? They have to recruit them. You know what that is? That's a criminal offense. That's called child abuse. These people are wicked people. Look at what the Bible says. It says, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. What does implacable mean? They cannot be placated. They cannot be satisfied. They'll not be satisfied with just a bathroom. Look at what else it goes on to say. It says, unmerciful. Look at verse number 32. Who knowing the what?
Judgment
of whom?
God,
the Bible says, that they which commit such things are what?
Worthy
of what?
Death.
Now, that is the New Testament. And that's what the Bible says. That they which commit such things are worthy of death. And you've got these idiot, soft, limp-wristed Christians out there that will take this verse and try to explain it away. And they'll say, well, we're all worthy of the death. Because, I mean, after all, for the wages of sin is death. You know, there's a difference between the payment of my sin, which Jesus Christ paid for me when he died on the cross, and me committing a sin that's worthy of the death penalty. You see, there's a difference, isn't there? We're talking about the physical person here, that these which commit such things are worthy of the death penalty. Is my child worthy of the death penalty because he stole a piece of candy out of the cookie jar? No, but when you sit there and you try to put these things together and mash them together, that's exactly what you're saying. You're saying that the crime, or not the crime, you're saying that the sin that the child has committed is just as bad as the sin of this sodomite over here. And if the sodomite's worthy of the death penalty, then the child's worthy of the death penalty. Isn't that nonsense? Isn't that absolute stupidity? That child's not worthy of the death penalty. You know what he's worthy of? A spanking. That's what he's worthy of, but he's not worthy of the death penalty. Whereas somebody who commits a capital crime, a criminal offense, is worthy of the death penalty. You know what? Murderers, aren't they worthy of the death penalty?
Absolutely.
Yes. Pedophiles, aren't they worthy of the death penalty?
Absolutely.
How about the rapist? Isn't he worthy of the death penalty? Absolutely. And you know what? If we would actually enforce those laws in the United States, instead of just slapping them with a little bit and throwing them into prison for a couple years and then letting the rapists out on the streets, you know what? We'd have a lot less rapes in the country, wouldn't we, if we just put them to death.
Amen.
So you know what? If we put the sodomites to death, we wouldn't have to put many of them to death. Because you know what? They'd stay in the closets and they wouldn't allow you to know that they're a sodomite, because if it was found out, well, then they would possibly be put to death. If we put the pedophiles to death, you think there'd be a whole lot of pedophiles out there committing that? You think the Catholic priest would be sitting there trying to recruit children unto himself to commit pedophilia with those children if we actually took the Catholic priest and cut off their heads? You think they'd be sitting there committing that crime? No. And you see, the reason why the LGBT community is shoving all this nonsense down our throats is because our nation has left off to do the judgments of God. We've cast aside the judgment of the Lord. And not only do we sit there and say we're not going to do it, Christians will stand up and they'll preach against the Bible. They'll sit there and say, we're in 2019, we're under the age of grace, so we're not supposed to put these people to death anymore. That's nonsense. Aren't we still supposed to put murderers to death? Well, guess where that comes from, that law? Comes from the Old Testament. Aren't we supposed to put rapists to death in 2019? Well, guess where that comes from? The Old Testament, Book of Leviticus. Aren't we supposed to put pedophiles to death? Absolutely. Guess where that comes from? The Old Testament. These are laws that are written in the Word of God in the Old Testament. And by the way, love thy neighbor as thyself doesn't come from the New Testament. You know what it comes from? It comes from the Old Testament. It is still a law. It comes from the same book that we started off here this morning. It comes from the book of Leviticus. So you know what? If you're going to reject putting the sodomites to death, then why don't you just reject love thy neighbor as thyself? You know why you don't do that? Because you like that law. You know what? I don't care what laws I like or what laws I dislike. Because let me be honest with you. There are things in this Bible that my flesh does not like. There are things that when I read it from time to time, my flesh goes, are you serious, Lord? But you know what I do? I bring my body into subjection. And I bring my mind into subjection and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I say, I don't care whether my mind thinks it's right or not. What I am going to go with is what the Word of God says, because God knows better. His ways are not my ways. His mind is not my mind. I cannot know and understand the reasons why God has decided the things that He has decided. So I'm just going to go with what God says. And by the way, when it comes to sodomy, I can't understand why God has said that. Because it's a disgusting, vile sin that contaminates a society. You look at every single society that has ever existed that's gone the way of sodomy. What has happened to those societies? They've been destroyed. We could start with Sodom and Gomorrah, couldn't we? What happened to them? They were destroyed. But what happened before God destroyed them? Oh, you saw all the people from every quarter, young and old, the Bible tells us, that were coming to try to take those angels out of the house of Lot so that they could abuse them. All the people, the Bible says, from every quarter. They're a bunch of sick freaks. They are criminals, according to the Word of God. Now, take your Bibles. Let's look at another one. Go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And look at what the Bible has to say there. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And look at verse number 9. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Look at verse number 9. And see what the Bible has to say there. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And look down at verse number 9. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. You know what? Let's go back just a little bit for context. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And look down at what the Bible has to say in verse number 5. Now the end of the commandment is what? Charity, the Bible says. So the end of the commandment is charity. And it goes on to say, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. What kind of vain jangling? Oh, the sodomites are just like you and I. We're in the New Testament. We're under the age of grace. We're not under the laws of God anymore. So they're not supposed to be put to death. Vain jangling is what that is. They don't understand the law of God. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 7, desiring to be teachers of what?
The law.
It says, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. So you know, if you use the law of God, how God intended it, it is good. But if people sit there, and Christians today sit there, and they'll call the law of God bad. I thought the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I thought that the Bible tells me that the law of God will endure unto every generation. And I got news for you. One day when Jesus Christ returns to this world, the Bible tells us that the law shall go forth from Zion. What law do you think he's talking about? By the way, that verse is from the Old Testament. So what law do you think he's talking about? The Old Testament law, and if the law is going forth from Zion, and the Bible tells us that Christ will rule and reign with a rod of iron, do you think he's coming back to rule just softly?
No,
he's coming back to rule with a rod of iron. And by the way, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation about three woes. And you know what? One of those woes is the bottomless pit being opened up. And these beasts coming out and tormenting men for 5 months. And then part of the woes is these beasts that go around and kill a third of the population of the earth. I mean, that's what's going on in those woes. And each woe gets worse than the woe before it. You know what the final woe is? When Jesus returns to set up his millennial kingdom. So if each punishment, each woe is worse than the one before, when Jesus Christ comes back, what does that tell you? He's coming back to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And you know what that means? That means adulterers will be put to death. That means rapists put to death, pedophiles put to death, murderers put to death, and sodomites put to death. That is Jesus Christ who's going to do that. And that's New Testament, by the way. And what do we see in the New Testament? That it is still a crime according to the Bible. Look down at what the Bible says here, verse number 9. It says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. So you know what? If you obey the law, you don't have to worry about being punished, do you?
No,
look at what it says. But for the lawless and disobedient, for ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Don't you think the law should be for those people?
Absolutely.
So how about the next verse then? How can you agree with this verse and not the next one? Look at verse 10 says, for who? Whoremongers. So there's a law against that as well. For whoremongers, for them that do what? Defile themselves with mankind. For men stealers. Don't you think there ought to be a law against kidnapping?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And by the way, what was the penalty for kidnapping in the Bible?
Death.
Death penalty is what it was. For men stealers, for liars. And by the way, isn't there a law for liars? If you lie in court, isn't there a law against that? Absolutely, there should be. It goes on to say, it says, for perjured persons, and if there be any other doctrine that is contrary to sound doctrine. So notice, if you agree with all these things, then why don't you agree with the part that says, for whoremongers and for them that defile themselves with mankind? That's New Testament. That's the book of 1 Timothy. We are after the time of Christ. We're in the supposed age of grace at that point. And guess what? According to the Bible, it's still a criminal offense in the eyes of God. So why don't you agree with that then today? You say you're King James only. You say you're a Bible believer. So why don't you agree with the Word of God? Because I guarantee you this morning, if we went into the average independent Baptist church today that claims to be King James only, and we went to the average person sitting in the pew, and we asked them, do you think that homosexuals should be put to death? They would say no. The average person would say no. And then if we ask them, well, do you believe the Bible's the King James Bible is the perfect word of God? Do you agree with the Bible? You know what they'd say? Yes, they'd say yes. So why don't they agree with this? Listen, if you're going to agree with part of it, you have to agree with all of it. Amen. If you claim to be King James only and that the Bible is your sole authority for faith and practice, then you have to agree with the Word of God. You know what we are? You know what kind of church we are? We are a King James, independent Baptist, fundamental, Bible-believing church. And when it comes to the things of the Word of God, we agree with the Bible. We don't care what men say. We don't care whether it's popular or not. We're going to agree with what the Bible says. And if you don't agree with this here this morning, then you know what? Go on down to First Baptist Church where they don't agree with this. Go on down to that church where you think that they're so loving, but there's no soul winning going on over there. You see, the end of the commandment is charity, the Bible tells us. You know why God gives these laws to us? Out of love for us. Not out of love for the person who's committed, because they're worthy of death, but out of love for those that would be the victims. You know why we give the death penalty for pedophilia? Out of love for the victims, right? We put the pedophile to death because we love the child. We put the rapist to death because we love that woman who's the victim. Right? So we put the sodomite to death because we love the people. And if you love your nation and you want to make America great again, then you need to remove the sodomites out of the land. It's a criminal offense. Old Testament, New Testament, it is clearly seen. It is not hard to understand here this morning that it is a criminal offense. And listen, I'm not even talking about whether they're reprobate here this morning or not. That has nothing to do with this sermon. You may completely disagree with me that, and to sit there and say, well, they're not reprobate, they can be saved. You know what? You can agree with that all you want, or say that all you want, but when you look at the Bible, this ought to be very clear. This is easy to see, and if you don't agree with it, then don't sit there and say that you disagree with Joe Major. You know who you have disagreed with? You've disagreed with God. I didn't write the Bible. My job is just to preach the Bible. Amen. So you know what? If you disagree with this, guess who you disagree with? God is who you disagree with. Now, let's move on to point two here this morning. That is that they are an abomination. Take your Bibles, go to Leviticus chapter number 18. Look at what the Bible says there. Leviticus chapter number 18. And look at verse number 22. Leviticus chapter number 18. And look at verse number 22. Anybody think it's not an abomination to God in the New Testament? You think it's no? Listen, if it was still a crime, if it was a crime in the Old Testament, it's still a crime today. Well, if it's an abomination back then it's still an abomination today, isn't it? Look at what the Bible says here, Leviticus chapter number 18. And by the way, do I even need to tell you that's an abomination? Because you know what? When you go out and you go to Walmart and you see a couple homos walking through the store holding hands, what does your flesh automatically tell you? Ugh! Disgusting! You want to look away, don't you? You cover your children's eyes, don't you? You know why? Because it's an abomination. It's disgusting. It's vile. It's against nature for them to do that. And it is natural to you that it is disgusting. Listen, if I came to you and you came to my house and I was going to serve you supper that night and I put before you, I went outside and collected some of my dog feces, put them on a plate, brought them into you, set it down before you, what would you do? Exactly. Ah, that's disgusting. Get that away from me. Remove it out of my sight is what you... Remove it from the land, please. Amen. Isn't that what you would say? Yep. Something to that effect? I'm not eating that garbage. You know why? Because it's not natural to eat dog dung, is it? No. It's disgusting. It's against nature for you to do that. Well, in the same way, it is against nature for a man to be with man. And for a woman to be with a woman, and normal people, when they see that, it's revolting. It's disgusting. If it's not disgusting to you, it's because you've been brainwashed by TV because you see it on the television in every single stinking show. It doesn't matter what show it is. They always got to push the sodomites out there on the television as if they're just normal people. They're desensitizing you to it. They're removing it from your conscience. It is unnatural. That's what we saw, by the way, in Romans 1. It's unnatural, the Bible says. Look at what the Bible says here, Leviticus chapter 18. Look down at verse number 22. The Bible says this, Leviticus 18, verse number 22. And it says there, it says this, it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is what? Abomination. Now, what does the word abomination mean? Extreme hatred, right? If you were to look it up, by the way, on dictionary.com, it says anything abominable, anything greatly disliked or abhorred, intense aversion or loathing, detestation. So you know what? It's something that's just completely disgusting. It's against your nature. Just like it would be an abomination to eat dog feces, it is an abomination for a man to be with man or a woman to be with a woman. And you know what? These kinds of freaks out there, you know why it is a crime and it is an abomination? Because it spreads all kinds of diseases throughout the country. You know, HIV and all these diseases used to have names that were related to homosexuals. You know those diseases? You have a higher chance of getting those diseases within the homo community. You know, that's why you always see the billboards out there, or you see the commercials on the television that show some kind of sodomite, and now he's able to live a good life because he's getting this treatment for his HIV. You know why you always see those ads, those things on the billboards and such? Because they have a higher risk of contracting those diseases. The life expectancy of a sodomite today is 50 years old. Their lifespan is almost cut in half. Now, let me read you a few things off of the CDC website. So this is hardly a right-wing establishment, isn't it? The CDC website, it goes on to say this: sexually transmitted diseases have been rising among gay and bisexual men, with increases in syphilis being seen across the country. In 2014, gay and other men who are with men accounted for 83% of primary and secondary syphilis cases where sex of a partner was known in the United States. So they accounted for how much? 83%. That's pretty high, isn't it? This is the CDC's website. It goes on to say, it says, and these men who are with men often get other STDs, including chlamydia and gonorrhea infections. HPV, the most common STD in the United States, is also a concern for these men. Some types of HPV, by the way, I'm kind of cutting some of this out just for children's ears. And it goes on to say, some types of HPV can cause genital and anal warts, and some can lead to the development of anal and oral cancers. These men are 17 times more likely to get anal cancer than heterosexual men. Men who are HIV positive are even more likely than those who do not have HIV to get anal cancer. The majority of these men have and maintain good health. This is what they say. Even though we just read all of this, they got to try to put their spin on it, don't they? So the majority of these men, even though 83% of them, they're 83% of the cases of syphilis. Who's it among? The queers is who it's among. It says the majority of these men maintain good health, even though, listen to this, even though research has shown that they are at greater risk for mental health problems. So yeah, they've maintained great health, but they're at greater risk for mental health problems. Hello? It's kind of obvious when you read this, isn't it? I mean, any idiot can read this and see what's going on. It says, even, it goes on to say, like everyone else, the majority of these men are able to cope successfully if connected to the right resources. So they're able to, you know what the right resources are? Take them out of the land. You know what the right resources are? Break down their houses and remove them out of the land because they're disgusting, they're vile, they're wicked. And listen, they're doing these things knowing they're at greater risk. Remember, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 1 that they which do such things are worthy of death. And it says they do it knowing the judgment of God. They know they're at greater risk, and yet they go and do this and live in a lifestyle where they just spread this disease around. Isn't that wicked? They're victimizing people is what they're doing. They're victimizing the nation by spreading all these diseases around. I mean, listen, if you had a vial of whatever you disease you want to say, and it was, you know, extremely contagious and could kill people, and you went around and just started putting it into the air filtration system at Walmart, wouldn't you be pretty wicked? Wouldn't you, by the way, be worthy of the death penalty? But these queers do the exact same thing. Oh, and we just want to provide the right resources for them so that they can cope with their mental health problems. You know why they have mental health problems? Because the mind is seared with their conscience is seared off. They've been given over to a reprobate mind, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 1. And you know what? It's kind of hard for the human mind to cope with the fact that they are intentionally hurting people. intentionally harming people, intentionally spreading diseases around that can potentially kill people. Isn't that hard for the mind to cope with something like that? That's why they have mental health problems, because they've been given over to a reprobate mind. And this is the judgment of God upon them, that they would have such diseases like this. You see, they are being cut out of the land early, and thank God for it. Look back down. Let me just read you a little bit more. It goes on to say, however, ongoing homophobia, stigma, negative and usually unfair beliefs, and discrimination, unfairly treating a person or group of people, can have negative effects on your health. What happened to sticks and stones may break my bones? What happened to our generation that didn't worry about what people said about us? But these bunch of queers and homos, they can't take what you say about them. I guarantee they won't be able to take what I'm saying about them in this sermon. That's why earlier in the week I put up one short little video about the queers and the sodomites. Guess what? It wasn't up for 2 hours and YouTube took it down because of hate speech against a protected group is what it said on there. And you know what? This sermon here this morning, I have to live stream it on the privacy setting, because otherwise YouTube will take it down off of YouTube. Now I'm going to take it, and I'm going to make copies of it, and I'm going to spread it around on all kinds of other platforms out there to put it public, because this needs to be spoken. It needs to be said, and people ought not to be afraid to stand up and to speak the truth and to speak what needs to be said. Hey, if you actually love the queers, why don't you tell them that 83% of people, that there are 83% of the syphilis cases are in the homosexual community. Why don't you tell them that their life expectancy is till 50? But do they go around saying that? Do you hear that on the news? No, you sure don't hear that on the news. It goes on to say, research also shows that compared to other men, these men have higher chances of having major depression, bipolar disorder, no joke, huh? And generalized anxiety order. These men also face other health threats that usually happen along with mental health problems. These include more use of illegal drugs. Huh, the criminals, right? Illegal drugs. And a greater risk for suicide. These men are more likely than other men to have tried to commit suicide, as well as to have succeeded at suicide. But they're just so gay. They're just so happy, but they're more likely to commit suicide. Their lifestyle is really healthy, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? It goes on to say, HIV is another issue that has had a huge impact on the health, on the mental health of these men. It affects men who are living with HIV, those who are at high risk but HIV negative, and loved ones of those living with or who have died from HIV. Now, I'm going to stop reading there that article, but doesn't that just show you right there? That's from the CDC's website. Doesn't it show you that it's an abomination? That men that would commit something like this, they're just willfully spreading around all these diseases like syphilis, HIV, gonorrhea, just spreading around diseases and infecting people. And by the way, if we were to look up the statistics on these homos, they don't just want to be married to one other dude. They don't want to just be married to one other woman. The majority of them have had hundreds, if not thousands, of partners. Thousands of people they've been with. So if one person has HIV, he's potentially infected how many people? Thousands of them. Isn't that a crime? Yes. Knowing that you are at risk for something, knowing that you have a disease like that, and you knowingly go and infect hundreds or thousands of other people, these people are criminals. Yes. Both according to the Word of God and according to our own laws, they would be criminals. But you know what? Cast aside the laws of man. It's the laws of God that matter. And it is an abomination. Take your Bibles, go to Deuteronomy chapter number 23. Look at what the Bible says there. Deuteronomy chapter number 23. And look at what the Bible has to say. Deuteronomy chapter number 23. Look down at what the Bible has to say in verse number 17. Deuteronomy 23, verse number 17. And the Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter number 23 and verse number 17. The Bible says right there, it says in verse 17, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of the whore, or the price of a what? Do you think we're talking about an actual animal? No, if in the verse before we say the whore and the sodomite, and the next verse says the whore and the dog. Who's the dog? The homo is. The sodomite is the dog. You know why? Because dogs do things that would seemingly be unnatural to us. Right? I mean, won't a dog eat his own vomit? But you and I, if we vomit up, do you want to go eat your vomit? No, because it's disgusting. It's unnatural. Dogs hump anything. Is that natural for a human being? No. So these bunch of homos, they'll hump anything. They'll do anything. Man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter. They'll do anything. They're a bunch of criminals, and the Bible calls them dogs. And if you're uncomfortable with that, then you're uncomfortable with the Word of God. Because that's what the Bible says. Bible says they are dogs. That's what the Word of God says. Look back at it. Read it again. It says, verse 18, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. This is why homos are not allowed in Faith Baptist Church. Because they're an abomination. The Bible calls them a dog. I mean, would you be comfortable with me bringing in somebody that had a vial of that disease and letting them freely set it off in the church? Then why would I bring somebody like that that has that mentality into the house of God? You see, and by the way, didn't Jesus tell us not to give that which is holy unto the dogs? That's what Jesus said. What's more holy than the Word of God, God's people, the house of God? We're not to give that which is holy unto the dogs, the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. So if Jesus said that in the New Testament, and by the way, this is Jesus saying it in the Old Testament, in case you didn't know, Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word of God, the Bible tells us. And so guess who is saying this in the Old Testament? Not only God in general, but Jesus Christ is telling us this in the Old Testament. That they are dogs. And then if Jesus says in the New Testament, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, then what should I do? Not give that which is holy unto the dogs. That's why they're not allowed at Faith Baptist Church. One of many reasons. Take your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter number 18. Look at what the Bible says there. Genesis chapter number 18. Look at verse number 16. Genesis chapter number 18. And look down at verse number 16. You should know where I'm going here, back in Genesis 18, right? Genesis 18, look at verse number 16. The Bible says this, Genesis chapter 18. And verse number 16, the Bible says, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? By the way, who's the Lord here that's speaking? Jesus Christ. This is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus. Remember, Jesus and two angels come and sit down with Abraham. And Jesus eats with Abraham. And then what happens in chapter 19? Sodom and Gomorrah gets leveled. Look at what the Bible says here. This is what he's talking about. Verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and what? Judgment. What judgments do you think he's talking about? God's judgments, right? He goes on to say, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, notice this, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Somebody is crying in Sodom. Who do you think is crying in Sodom? The children and the victims that are in the city, because the whole city was wholly given over to this nonsense. Take your Bibles, go to Genesis 19, one chapter over. We'll not take time to read the entire thing. But look at Genesis 19, look at verse number 4. And the Bible says this in Genesis 19, verse number 4. It says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and who?
Young.
all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. The men wanted to rape men. That's what's going on in this chapter right there. These men want to rape these angels. They don't know they're angels. They think that they're just men, and they want to rape them. They want to know them. And did you notice it said all the city from every quarter, both old and young? The whole city is given over to this sin. It's given over to this nonsense. But you know, people out there will sit there and say, well, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, it wasn't homosexuality. It wasn't sodomy. Listen, the term sodomy is defined by the city of Sodom. I mean, this is not rocket science, but you've got these Christians that want to deny the Bible, and they'll sit there and say, well, their sin was just pride. Their sin was just idleness. I mean, that was their sin. Their sin was not an abomination. Well, let's see what the Bible says about it, shall we? Go to Isaiah chapter number 3. Look what the Bible has to say there. Isaiah chapter number 3, and look down at verse number 8. And the Bible says this in Isaiah chapter number 3 and verse number 8. The Bible says right there, Isaiah chapter number 3 and verse number 8. It says, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. And they do what?
Declare
their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Isn't that just like today? Gay Pride Week. They declare their sin just as Sodom. They're prideful about it. And you think their sin really is just pride? Do you think that's the only sin there? No, what are they prideful about? They're prideful about their sin. They're prideful about the fact that they're a queer. They're prideful about the fact that they're a dude and they like dudes. They're prideful about the fact that they're a pansexual, transgender lesbian. Does that make any sense? I mean, how many of you saw that video here recently of this dude? He's a guy. He's a man. He's a pansexual, transgender lesbian. What does that mean? He thinks he's a woman, but he's a man who likes women, who thinks he's a woman. Does that make any sense whatsoever? Hello, these people are brain dead, and they just sit there and declare their sin, declare their crime as Sodom did. Take your Bibles there, look on down at Ezekiel chapter number 16. Let's see what the sin of them was. Ezekiel chapter number 16. Ezekiel comes after the book of Jeremiah, so just turn to the right in your Bible. Ezekiel chapter number 16, and look down at verse number 49. Ezekiel 16 and verse number 49. And the Bible says this in Ezekiel chapter number 16, verse number 49. It says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister. So we're about to find out what their sin was, aren't we? Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. What's the first thing it mentions?
Pride.
But you think that's the only sin they had? No, because they declared their sin, right? It says, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Remember back then, we read about the cry of Sodom? Because there are poor and needy in that city that are crying out to God, that are the victims. But listen, let's see what it was they were doing to these victims. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 50, and they were haughty and did what? Committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good, the Bible says. God saw that it was good. When he says he took them away, what did God do? He took them away out of the land of the living. He rained fire and brimstone upon them, and they woke up in everlasting chains of fire. They woke up in the judgment of God. They died burning to death, and they woke up burning to death. I mean, imagine that. What was their sin? That they committed abomination. The cry of those people came up. They were a bunch of criminals. You see, they don't care about people. They're not loving people. They're not normal people. They're a bunch of criminals is what they are that are worthy of the death penalty. Take your Bibles. We'll close with this. Go to Jude chapter number 1 and look at what the Bible has to say. By the way, we could look at every account in the Bible of sodomites. And you know what you'll never see in the Bible? You'll never see Jesus being kind to sodomites. You'll never see Jesus ministering to sodomites. You'll never see Jesus loving sodomites. Not one scripture. Every single verse, and I kid you not, and we've looked at a lot of them here this morning, there are more we could look at, but every single verse in the Bible condemns them. Every single verse, God has nothing good to say about them because they are criminals that are worthy of the death penalty. Take your Bibles there. Look at Jude chapter number 1. By the way, while you turn over there, you know, we could look at this morning the story in the book of Judges chapter 19. What's in Judges 19? Well, in Judges 19, you've got some men that are traveling through, a man who's traveling with his concubine with him, and they come to a city of the Benjaminites, and they go, and they lodge in this old man that invites them into his home, and they lodge in his home, and when it gets dark, it says certain children of Belial came against the house and demanded that he bring the man out to them. What were they? Sodomites. And the Bible says they're children of Belial, children of the devil. And he won't give the man unto him, but the man gives his concubine to them, and they take the woman, and they abuse her all the night, and abuse her so horrifically and so badly that in the morning she's lying on the doorstep dead. And apparently what they did to her was so bad, so gruesome, that the man then takes her body and cuts it up into pieces and sends it to portions of the nation so they can see what these men did to her. It was that bad. And then the nation of Judah comes against the city of the Benjamites and fights against them because of that sin. These people do not care about people. They are unnatural. Their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Don't you think for a minute that they are normal. And listen, they can put on a show like anybody else. They can sit there and present themselves as loving and normal in person, but you know what? They're not. They don't care about people. If they cared about people, they wouldn't be living in that lifestyle. If they cared about people, they wouldn't be partaking in a sin where they know that they're going to be spreading all of this disease if they actually cared about people. Let's finish in Jude chapter number 1. Look what the Bible says there. Jude chapter number 1, look at verse number 7. And the Bible says this in Jude chapter number 1, verse number 7. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after what? Strange flesh, because it's abomination. It's an abomination for a man to go after a beast. It's an abomination for a man to be with a man. That is strange for us. Look at what the Bible says. It says strange for us and are set forth for an what? An example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Listen, if God took Sodom and he destroyed them and rained fire and brimstone on them, and the Bible tells us that they are now suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, and they are set forth as an example. Well, who are they set forth for an example to? Us, the rest of the world. And this is in the New Testament, by the way. So if God is using an Old Testament story as an example to us in the New Testament, what does that tell you? God still thinks the same thing he thought in the Old Testament. So guess what that means? It's still a criminal offense worthy of the death penalty, which is why God gave them the death penalty. And God rained fire and brimstone on them. And not only did he rain fire and brimstone on them, remember in that city, there wasn't even 10 righteous in the city. Lot's family was there. Lot was there. And not even 10 righteous. What does that mean? Not even 10 saved people in the whole city. You know what? In New Orleans, I'm pretty sure we could go throughout New Orleans and find 10 saved people, don't you think? So New Orleans is wicked, but it's not nearly as bad as Sodom. But Sodom is set forth as the example. If you do this, if you go after this, this is the punishment I have in store for you. they are worthy of the death penalty because it is still an abomination in the eyes of God. It's not just a sin. You know what? When my son steals a piece of candy, that's a sin. When my son lies to his father, that's a sin worthy of a spanking. But you know what? That's not an abomination. An abomination is sodomy, and it is a criminal offense. God hates those that would commit such sin so much so that he gives them the death penalty. Why? Because the end of the commandment is charity. He gives them that penalty out of love for the victim. Remember, there were victims in the city of Sodom. The cry came up. They weren't doing justice to the poor and needy. They're declaring their sin. They're prideful about it. They could care less about those they victimized. Therefore, the end of the commandment is charity, because out of love for the victims, he gives them the death penalty. And if he did that in the Old Testament, it's set forth as an example for us today. Still an abomination and still a crime according to God in the Word of God. Let's end a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed here today. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us here this morning. Lord, I ask that you'd help us to take these things, to search them, to study them, Father, that we would believe your Word, that we put aside our preconceived ideas, our prejudices, that we would just believe your Word. And Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. We're dismissed here today.